Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. This is the central truth of our being, and it is wonderful, and so are you, and so it is. So we've been starting our services, our celebrations in the Atlanta Midtown Center and in the Atlanta churches overall for about 40 years now, maybe 50, I can't remember how many it's been, with that phrase. So I want to welcome you all to this wonderful opportunity today to celebrate life, to celebrate your life, and to find some greater opportunities and ideas, perhaps, for living well in these troubled times. Our theme is Facing Your Fear, and we've been facing it all month. I guess the flip side of that theme has been faith, which we've also been doing all month as part of this play between the two of them. So whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever brought you to us, whatever ideas and whatever ethnicity or culture or belief system you have, you are welcome. You're welcome to be with us. You are not just welcome because we have some idea about tolerance. Instead, we have an idea of celebration, of honoring and celebrating every person, regardless of who you are, and regardless of what you're doing and how your life is showing up. So welcome. Thank you for joining us. And we are a place that celebrates and that honors the positive and the good in all people and all things. We'll continue on by reminding you that we have a Declaration of Principles. Our center, its whole structure and vision is built around these basic principles. So I'm going to read those to you, and you'll see them on the screen. I invite you to read along if you'd like. I believe in one God, one absolute power, and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. And now each week we have a wonderful opening period of time with our practitioner. Practitioners are those who are well-trained in this teaching. There are folks who know, who have demonstrated the use of the creative process in their own lives, the use of the ideas of spiritual law and spiritual truth and power and love. And they've also demonstrated that they can use that in working with other people and helping you find greater truth and greater goodness and greater freedom. So today, one of our practitioners is joining us to share with you some pretty wonderful stuff, I think. Maya Fuller, who has been with us a while, and I'm very thrilled that she's with us today. Take it away, Maya.
Good morning, everyone. thank you for inviting me to speak again today. Yeah, so I'm going to be talking about just what you said. I'm going to share a story about how I've used this truth to overcome fear. As we might all know, the theme for this month is facing the fear. And the topic for today is just do it. So I'm just going to share a personal story about how Science of Mind and the support I found here at this center helped me to face the fear that I had. And then we're going to end with a treatment for facing our fear spoken in the voice by, you know, spoken by our founder, Ernest Holmes. So as I shared last time I spoke here, I am a great lover of enjoying this teaching through working through with manifestation. So I just love the whole having fun with manifesting and demonstrating. I love that we can just have fun with manifesting and demonstrating the desires of our hearts. And one of the most magnificent things I've experienced in this regard has been the demonstration of a piece of property on a rather secluded island in the Bahamas. And the name of that island is Exuma. So I demonstrated this piece of property. So the story behind that is that basically one day in the olden days when HGTV first came out and they, you know, they had been out for a while, the television channel, and they had the first episode of House Hunters International. And I think one of the first or second episodes of that was the fact that someone had, American, had purchased property on an island. And I was just like, my eyes were open. I was like, probably like in my 20s at the time, my eyes were open, like, oh my gosh, I can just go purchase a piece of island, you know, property on the island. I've always said that I would always live in South Florida or the Caribbean after college. And I did for many years after college. And I was just like, wow. So what I did is I like made a little vision board. I got this calendar that had, you know, all the island scenes, you know, you all seen those at the dollar store or whatever. And I put them across my bedroom, all around the top of my bedroom. And I was just like, I had that there for a long time, kind of just looking at like, oh, I'm going to have this island property. So one day, years later, we went on a family reunion. My family, my grandfather is from the Bahamas. We went to a family reunion and we've been to a family reunion over the years in the Bahamas. Okay. This time I had never been to Exuma, the island where my grandfather was born. So we went to the island, and while we were there, lo and behold, we found out after all these years that the entire family had received somewhat of an inheritance, miraculous inheritance. And guess what it was? It was of property, waterfront property. So, I mean, okay, demonstration works. Okay. I mean, like just the tools that we use, imagination, demonstration, okay, fine, they work. So I used to have this, we had this, one of my first ministers, she used to say, yeah, you can demonstrate something, but can you keep it? She would always say that, do you have the consciousness to keep it? So that is where my story of fear kind of comes in. So it's beautiful. I mean, the property was like, it cost, you know, nothing, beautiful property. But the only caveat is that we had to improve upon the property, like make some improvement on it by like either originally they said, you know, you can from the olden days, it was like you can plant some fruit bearing trees, or you can at least build a wall, or at least create a, you know, build a foundation. My issue was that I had no money. I told you, like, at the time I was still like probably in my maybe older 20s, but I was still in my 20s at the time. I was in my 30s at the time. And I didn't have money to be developing, some property on this outer island on the Bahamas. But, you know, I was like, I'm still keeping my eye on the prize. We had 3 years in which to develop this, you know, to put something on the property to develop it. I was like, okay, no problem. You know, I've got this, you know, God brought me too far to leave me. So I'm good. So 3 years passed, or time passed, you know, almost 3 years passed. And guess what? I got the money. Of course I got the money, right? Because this is the principle. This is the teaching. Got the money. And then that's where the fear comes in. Oh, I thought I said that before, right? Okay, this is where the fear comes in. I got the money, so I should be fine, right? Well, there was a person who was like a gatekeeper in a way. He was a person who kind of granted us these properties. He was the one who, like, you know, we had, you know, go through and sign stuff or whatever. And he somehow, I had the experience of him dragging his feet in terms of helping me get a contractor out there. I mean, I'd gone and visited the property so many times, even stayed in his house and, you know, spent time with his wife. His wife he and his wife even married. He's a minister, married my husband and I on the island. So a relationship with him. But for some reason, when it came to getting the contractor out there, getting the tractor out there, nothing happened. 3 years passed from then, another 3 years. Now, the paperwork said that we had 3 years to improve the property. And during that time, you can imagine how my anxiety and fear started to build. That is where this community comes in. I was at my wonderful discussion group, plug for the discussion group, that's at 10 a.m. in the morning, right here on Zoom. and two men from the center, Walter and Bob Townsend, I was sharing with them about how I was like getting rid of this fear. I was like, I've had it with this fear. This is not based on the principles, the idea that someone or something can take something away from me. I am just working on facing these fears. So Bob was like, if you're really facing these fears, I encourage you to go to Bahamas and make it happen. What is the topic for today? Just do it. Bob Townsend said, just do it. And I was like, but my husband is not in the country. He can't go with me. I would have to go by myself. But I don't know anybody else on the island. Where will I stay if I don't stay with this man? But he knows everyone on the island. The island is like literally so small, you can drive it in an hour. I'm like, he knows everyone. How can I get past this gatekeeper? Bob was like, just practice active faith and go do it. It took me a couple of weeks to build up the courage to actually like do that. I was trying to get my husband to go with me, but you know how spirit works. Spirit is like, okay, listen, you have the issue, you have the fear, you have to face it by yourself. And so that's what ended up happening. I got on the plane, I went over there, and sure enough, you know, this guy knows everybody on the island. I get there though, and I say, you know, I found somebody on an Airbnb, and I was like, well, these people look like they're Westerners, like they look like they might be American or English, you know, English people. I'm like, I'm just gonna try and stay with them because I want a very comfortable place to live or whatever. I went there, and these people, they were American, they were expats like me, right? Because remember, you know, these guys are from the gatekeeper is from the island. And so sometimes like, people can have this like insider outsider kind of thing. And I felt like that might've been happening. So I was like, I wanna stay with another expat. So I wanna stay with the expat. Who made their career in building and real estate in America and had purchased their property in, I mean, when I got there, I found out they had purchased their property in Bahamas. And when I got there, I found out that they know builders. Oh, let's go across the street to this guy right here is a builder over there. And within 2 days, I had improved upon the property. I had the tractors were there, the land was cleared off within the second day of my getting there, the tractors, I contracted with the tractors. By going just on faith, by demonstrating faith, by saying, even though I had fear, because sometimes we will have fear. Sometimes we will have the fear, but by saying, I'm going to face this fear, I'm going to work with this fear, I'm going to speak to other people about this, I'm going to bring this to my spiritual center and follow the advice, that my heart is saying, listen to this advice and follow it. And I just stepped out on faith, went there blindly, and my dreams are all the closer to coming true. So, like I said, this is really a tribute to the fact that no matter how long I was raised in this teaching, born in this teaching, no matter how long you might have been in this teaching, sometimes, you know, these ideas of fears kind of come up, but it's our responsibility to use the principles to face them and to change them. And then what will happen is when we change ourselves on the inside, be willing to just do it, face the fear and just do it, then the outside will change. So enough from me. As I said, we are going to close out this little section of my anecdotal story, along with my plug for not only joining the discussion group, but also Reverend Bob is doing a class on the mental equivalent that starts this week, or unless it started last week, on the mental equivalent, where we will be practicing, or you all in that class will be practicing, I'm sure, manifestation and demonstration. So you can manifest and demonstrate your magnificent piece of property or love or whatever it is that you're looking for through using these principles. So let's now move to this treatment by Ernest Holmes. Perfect love casts out fear.
There is a golden key to right living, and that key is prayer, affirmative prayer. For prayer is our direct line of communion with God. Through affirmative prayer, we learn to clear the mind of negative thoughts, of doubts, and fears. And this we must do if we are to become aware of the presence of God within and around us. Let us then take as our prayer for today's meditation this thought: perfect love casts out fear. And let us join in affirming God's presence here and now. Let us shut every other thought out of the mind, all the distractions of the moment, as we listen confidently, peacefully, and quietly. I know there is a power greater than I am. I know there is a love which casts out all fear. I know there is a faith which can overcome obstruction. I am now entering into this love. I am now using this faith. I now have complete confidence in God, the living, loving Spirit. I believe that the Spirit within me, which is God, makes perfect and happy the way before me. I enter into conscious union with everything that lives. I commune with the Spirit in all people and in all things. I feel an intimate relationship to the presence and the power which controls everything. I put my whole trust in God. I know that the Spirit will gently lead me and wisely counsel me. I know that the love which is around everything flows through me to everyone. And with it, there goes a confidence, a sense of joy and freedom, an enthusiasm for life, a zest for living. For all thy ways are ways of blessedness, and all thy paths are peace.
There's a power for good in the universe, and you can use it.
Though the road ahead may not be clear,
so glad you're here. Thank you so much, Maya, for that wonderful story. You made my talk easy because you illustrated it perfectly. And I'm very grateful for that. Thank you so much. So about 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago, there was a movie called Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, hence the hat. Because I thought if I wear the hat, it looks goofy and you might actually remember this story. Because in this movie, Indiana Jones is on a quest for the Grail, and the Grail is on the other side, you know, goes through all sorts of things. But in the clip that I found online, which I'm not going to show, but I invite you to take a look at it if you're into YouTube, it's called Indiana Jones and the Invisible Bridge. In this one little segment, Indiana Jones comes up on a place where he's got to get across this gap, which is really an abyss, and he looks down into it and you can't see the bottom, and there's no way to get across. But he has a map that he's been following all the way through that shows that he has to cross it to get to where the Grail is. And he's really excited about this. He's got people behind him who are in critical condition physically that he's got to go save by getting the Grail. And so he goes through, or he steps there. And from the look of the book, it's as if he just needs to step out. And so what he does is just that. He takes a deep breath, he holds his heart, and he steps out into the abyss. And as soon as he does, a bridge forms underneath his feet. And the bridge carries him across the abyss onto his next place. And it's a beautiful example of a leap of faith, because he clearly steps right out and jumps right in. So it's an example from fiction, but there's some interesting things about that story that I want to share with you a little further. Because if you only looked at that clip, you would have the idea that he faced this impossible fear of death and just stepped out. Blind faith. We hear a lot about blind faith. We hear people talk about just go forward in blind faith. But this wasn't blind faith any more than Maya's stepping out was blind faith. Because what it was up until that point in the movie, he had been through numerous obstacles, all of which the clues in the book he was carrying gave him ideas about what to do in each situation. And each time it played out and it showed itself to be reliable. It showed itself to be able to manage and face the fear that was going on and get to a better solution. So as he moved through that, when he got to the big one, walking up and stepping off into space, he already had experience. He already had built some confidence in this roadmap that he had. He already had some ideas working and going for him that he could trust. And so the step into faith was still a big one and still very scary. And that is so often true for us. And yet he had enough ideas already built up, enough confidence already built up, enough experience that it wasn't blind faith. It was faith based on what he already knew. And that's what we teach in this teaching. We don't ask you to use blind faith. We don't ask you to accept the things that we teach or that spirit says or that spirit, the way that spiritual law works, to just accept it on blind faith because we said so. One of the things I heard when I first came into this group or this teaching is that we don't ask you to check your brain at the door. We ask you to bring your brain in with you and check these things out and test these things out. We are a scientific approach to spirituality. So we approach this with the idea of scientifically trial and error. Test your hypothesis. If you think there's a way through a certain fear, try it and see. Lean into it. Feel into it. And when you're not sure, you can also lean on those who've been there before and walk through ahead of you. And so it's a beautiful thing to be able to build on that and then go forward and step forward fully and completely. It's a really nice thing to know that you don't have to just pretend, and that true faith is that which you are absolutely confident about. You heard Ernest Holmes earlier in that spiritual mind treatment. It's always fun to listen to him. He was trained in elocution, and his speech and his talk is very elocutionist and very reminiscent of Maine, where he grew up and all of that. So the I want to also take us back to him, because he is the founder of this teaching that we work with, to the idea that of what he says about faith. So Vance, if you'll show us this definition. Thank you. So here's what Ernest's faith is. Faith is a mental attitude which is so convinced of its own idea, which so completely accepts it, that any contradiction is unthinkable and impossible. Faith is a mental attitude. That's pretty amazing. It's not something outside of us. It's not something about having believed in a particular set of things. It is about a mental attitude that can be about anything. But it is about that which we are convinced is our truth about a certain thing. Maya was convinced it's at least go down there. It's better than not doing anything and see what, and allow things to unfold accordingly. Indiana Jones stood there thinking, I might die, but I'm gonna step out anyway. We're all facing a lot of fear these days. And so it has become more important than ever to get clear in our own thinking about what are our mental attitudes that we can trust and count on. What are the mental attitudes that we can step forward on and into that are so clear and so certain for us that the idea of a contradiction just isn't there? Are there some of those ideas for you? Like, what do you believe in absolutely that strongly? I believe that my family has my back that strongly. There's no place for question or countering that. What about your belief in freedom? Do you believe your freedom is so much a part of your nature that there's nothing to contradict it ultimately? Even though our fears may come in and tell us to back off or just to not do this or not do that, if it's coming out of a sense of loss of freedom, it's going against our nature. What are the things that you know, and you know that you know, beyond all shadow of a doubt, that are yours and that you carry forward and you have to hold? You see, the laws of cause and effect, which is the law of consciousness, compels experience, which is the creative process of, by changing my mind, I plant seed into consciousness, which grows in the soil, which produces an experience. Those truths have not been changed by COVID. They have not been changed by all of the chaos going on in our culture right now, while our world is righting itself in this struggle to honor and recognize and everyone, not just certain groups of people. They did not go on hiatus or vacation. There's another place where Ernest Holmes says, if you abandon these beliefs or your beliefs in a time of troubles, you never believed them to start with. So it's really important now more than ever before that we spend some time thinking about, what do I really put my mind, my heart, what am I willing to step off into the abyss for that I believe in so strongly I'd just step out there? That's an important question. It's a good question. The title of today's talk is Just Do It. One of the ways to know where your faith is by what you do. Just do it. Now, the origin of that phrase, of course, is Nike. It doesn't come from a very pleasant background, because it started with a gentleman who was about to be executed, and and they were mamby-pamming it around and asking what his last words were, and he says, just do it. And the person who developed the slogan happened to hear that, and he's written about later how that impacted him. So we all have these things going on with us where we just need to do it. We need to stop talking about it and start to do it, because when you start to do it, you'll find out, do I really believe it? Do I have the faith to do it? I made the decision to come to Mexico. I'm still here. I stayed a week longer. I'm going home this week. But I did that because I needed to get out. I needed to know that I still had some freedom of movement and that I wasn't just sitting in my house waiting for whatever was coming that somebody else was going to be in charge of. I picked the place that was one of the safest on this hemisphere, on this half of the country, of the world, actually. And I picked a place that I knew I could get to quickly, so I had minimum risk on airlines. And where I just had this intuitive knowing that I knew that this would be perfectly safe for me. And so I've been here now for a while and I'm loving it, and it's comfortable and it's slow, it's quieter. Ah, yes, it is everything kind of slowed down and taking it easy, which my world, my inner world needs sometimes, because I get so moving so fast and doing this and running to the next thing. So again, I'm not recommending everybody go hop on a plane somewhere, and I'm sure not recommending that you go take risks. But I am thinking and saying that what is important and what really matters at this point is that we do those things which our insides tell us is okay and right, and where our faith tells us nothing can contradict or counter it. Whether that's standing up for a cause in this country, is whether it's standing behind your political candidate, whether it's marching for one cause or another, wherever you feel your faith, your heart, your life is being pulled to expressing a greater sense of who you are. Now, you know, I can't get through a talk without quoting Kennedy Schultz, because he was my teacher and one of my first and most formative teacher in this teaching. And one of the things he said is that if you find yourself struggling about what to do now or what to do next or where you are in your what I should be and how I should be growing and expressing, he said, take a look on the big pile of discarded ideas that we all have in our background. Because quite often, your best idea for right now is sitting in that stack. Something you were signed up for, something you believed in, something you wanted to do, and yet it just got set aside. Travel and learning from people in other cultures and countries has always been a really important part of my spiritual growth, and I've been doing that here. I've had the chance here to see how it looks and how it feels. So whatever that is for you, not sure. Many people, maybe some of you, are going through major changes in terms of your careers, in terms of your jobs. People are losing jobs. People are losing income. There's all of that going on. But when you start facing that, look at the ideas you may have discarded from other times and see if that's a good idea for now, if that's a way to move forward, or be open to something brand new that you hadn't even thought of. Because you see, the other part of this that's really important is that within each of us, we have the infinite power of life itself whispering to us, guiding us, offering ideas. We still have the freedom to say yes or no, and I'll participate, or I'm gonna go this way, or I'm gonna do it that way. However, that nudging, that availability is there within you. And for me, that means slowing down, getting quieter, and listening. So just do it. Whatever it is, just do it. If it's change how you're eating, just do it. Well, you know how it is with exercise programs. I have started more exercise programs than most of you have years of being alive. And I haven't always followed through on them. Most of the time I haven't. But they've all served me well when I did do them. And what I know about that is it doesn't do me any good to get up in the morning, have my coffee, and think about whether I'm going to work out. Because as soon as I think that, the answer is no. The coffee and the sitting on the couch is much more pleasant and much more enjoyable. However, if I don't think about it, if I have decided there is movement and exercise and activity, and I'm going to do it, and I'm not going to question it, I'm just going to do it. When I get up in the morning and I put my walking shoes on and out the door I go without even stopping to think, should I be doing this or will I be doing this, then it works and I keep doing it. I've gotten back into all of that, doing that in the last month, because I'm in a place where I get to go outside and walk, and I'm walking on the beach, and I'm walking to the beach, and I'm walking back, and it's 1,000 degrees, so I'm sweating off a lot of pounds. So it's all good, but you can't stop and think about it. Shall we do this? Shall we do that? Let's have a conversation with ourselves about it. Just do it. That's the point. And you do it based on faith and knowledge of what that will get you, not or what you give to it as well as what you get from it. Not based on trying to force anything to happen. You don't stretch past what you believe in and what your faith tells you will be proper without contradiction. Unless you're ready to stretch a little bit and try it, test it, test the water, lean into your fear sometimes. We'll let you know it's nothing to be afraid of. So whichever way that goes, let yourself do it. So as we move now into our quieter time, I always like to do a bit of meditation at the end and a treatment. But today I want that to be done musically. So I want to invite you to simply let these ideas and stories you've been hearing settle in and listen to my treatment for you now. So quietly, quietly going within, letting your mind be clear, opening to new ideas, new ways.
Amazing things. dancers come when you're out there having fun. So close your eyes, take a breath and smile.
So when you come to the end of the light that you have known and step out into the darkness, my faith will tell me either my feet will touch solid ground or I will fly. And so will you. And so it is. Thank you. So I'd like to say to everyone, thank you for being with us today. I'm going to turn it over now to our board member and IT guy who makes this all come together and work and keeps me somewhat out of trouble. It's best anybody can do that to bring this forward on Sundays. So to tell us a little more about what's coming up and what's going on, Vance Blue will do that. Thank you, Vance.
Thank you, Bob. What an amazing talk. It was a good celebration today. Glad you're all here. And those of you who are listening online later, it's a great, great message today. So I'm going to talk a little bit about our center. We've got great stuff going on. We're doing good things. And we appreciate all of you showing up on Sundays and contributing to keep this work going into the world. And we are getting out and distributing this information to a much broader audience than we were doing previously. So thank you for being here. I'm going to share this affirmation of prosperity. You can read it for yourself and know this together. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And we go into our next slide, which is our announcement. So next month, our theme is Cosmic Connections. And next Sunday, Dr. Bob is going to talk about Just Like Me. It should be interesting because we are not alike. It looks like so. It's going to be an interesting talk. Tuesday afternoons, you've got the opportunity to get a midweek uplift bump spiritual support Tuesday afternoons from 12 to 12:30. It's the same ID that you got on here. It's on the website. It's on the Facebook. And that is there. And as Maya mentioned, Sunday morning, the discussion group, we're going through the Science of Mind textbook. And in the textbook, which is the foundation of what we talk about, is a guide to go through. One day at a time, you go through the whole book in 1 year. And I've done that several times, and it's a great way to learn and then come together and have a discussion about that. So that's at 10 a.m., same link. You go into a little breakout room for that, which is awesome. And we have amazing practitioners. They've all pretty much put their contact information in the chat, and you can find them on the website, cslmidtown.org. Under the home, there's a place, and you can go either connect with somebody or fill out an online prayer treatment request, and somebody will do prayer treatment for you. So we've got all of that going on. I'd like to thank all of our volunteers who do amazing work, and all of our board members. We had a board meeting this past week, and it was really good, and we're doing well, continuing to move forward through this environment that we're in and making decisions that we need to keep the center going. So that's all good stuff. So I'm going to turn it back to Michael.
Okay, well, so one, just a couple more things to add to that. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month. So we'll be celebrating October birthdays. And I apologize if you said that, Vance, just hear it twice. Maybe we'll all remember it. And we'll be celebrating your birthday if you're an October birthday. And we will also have some time following the celebration for our virtual coffee. We'll stick around and have coffee and conversation about whatever you want to talk about. And if you don't come up with something, I'll have some questions in mind to perhaps stir you up a bit to have a little more interaction. We're really looking for ways to provide that kind of connection during this time where we can, as a community, come together in on Zoom and in whatever ways make the most sense. So if you have thoughts of things you'd like to see us do, please let me know. You can get to me on the website. Dr. Bob Dean at cslmidtown.org is the best way to reach me. And we'll add them into the pot and take a look and see what makes sense. So thank you all. And thank you all for being here for this wonderful time. We are going to close a bit early today, so enjoy your extra coffee time. And here is our affirmation for life of life that we leave. Thank you, Paul Gagnier. I think I understand he wrote this, and I'm always grateful to him for the wonderful work he did here. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me, and so it is. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.